speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Tuesday, July 30th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. And, of course, today we're going to have some of the pregame show for the Democrat debate tonight. The first of two debates tonight and tomorrow night. And we're going to have a follow-up. We've got more about Baltimore, more race baiting, more Democrat rats roaming the streets. And, of course, they'll be at another venue tonight for their debate. And before we begin... and, of course, we've also got some updates as to what happened in the aftermath of the shooting around the Garlic Festival in California. Again, another poster child for gun control. And yet there are many events that they don't seem to pay any attention to. In 24 hours in Tijuana, just over the border of California, there were 20 murders. 20 murders. That's kind of a normal day. You can take a look at the number of murders in Baltimore, the number of murders in Chicago, all those places, you know, gun control places. Mexico, too, quite frankly. But let's not bother with a border wall. We don't need to worry about that. Instead, what we need to do is take away guns from citizens. And we've got a story at InfoWars, which is amazing. CNN interviewed somebody who was a survivor, a witness to the shooting, the Garlic shooting. And the guy said he saw the shooter. He had an opportunity to stop him before it got out of hand, and he tells CNN something they don't want to hear. I felt completely helpless, he said, because I didn't have a gun. I could have stopped him if I had had a gun. So I'm going to play that for you as well. Before we get into that, I've got an update on the U.S. soccer team, the women's soccer team. Now, besides taking on President Trump, they have been loudly screaming for equal pay. It turns out, as Wall Street Journal points out, that the U.S. women's soccer team has actually been paid more than the men's soccer team. Imagine that. Imagine that. And yet, it's never enough, is it? The U.S. Soccer Federation released a letter from its president yesterday saying that it had paid the women's national team more than the men's national team in recent years, a move that comes ahead of mediation and the women's team's pay equity lawsuit. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? It may be time, if they're getting paid less than the women, it may be time for these men to transition. Think about the benefits. Not only will you make more money for playing as a woman on the U.S. soccer team, because women get paid more money than the men, but you'll be able to win all the games. Have a totally unchallenged winning streak. Yes, it turns out the U.S. Soccer Federation paid female players $34.1 million in salaries and game bonuses from 2010 to 2018. The men only got $26.4 million during the same period. So think about that. That's 29% more, about a third more. Let's just round it up to say 30%, roughly. Now, they came back and said, that's not enough. It's not enough. You have put this out because you want to shut us down from getting paid more money because we're female. If it was reversed, they say, this is not because of gender. You know, you shouldn't be paying us less because of gender. Well, it turns out they're making more. And then they say, well, it's not because of gender. We're going to come up with these collective bargaining agreements. If it was reversed, if the men were getting paid 30% more, they would have said it's all about gender. And then they came back and said, this is a sad attempt, said Molly Levinson, spokeswoman for the players. A sad attempt by the USSF to quell the overwhelming tide of support we have received from everyone, including sponsors to Democrats in Congress. That's right. It's never enough, and it is a sad attempt to use math to prove that the women are making more money than the men. More on that when we come back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Tuesday, July 30th, year of our Lord 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We have the female soccer players, the U.S. soccer players, very upset about the fact they filed a lawsuit back on March 8th saying they need more money. They're not getting paid equally. And that's true. They aren't. They're getting paid 30% more than the men. That's never enough. They said this is a sad attempt by the USSF, U.S. Soccer League, to quell the overwhelming tide of support. Everyone from fans to Democrat congresspeople. And then they came back and they struggled after it was shown that the U.S. soccer players, females, were paid 30% more. They came back and said, yeah, but if you look at the World Cup prize payments from FIFA, this is the international organization that does this. They said, well, when you do that, then the men made $41 million over that time period versus the women who made 39.7. So they come back and they counter and they say, yeah, but if you put in the prize payments, the men got paid 3% more. But the soccer league that they're suing said, but we paid the women 30% more. It's not enough for them. They said FIFA's total prize money for 2018 was $400 million. For the Women's World Cup, FIFA put up $30 million. Okay, so now we're talking about a 10-to-1 difference here. But this is also FIFA. This is not the U.S. Soccer Federation. And the question is there equal competition between the men and the women? Is there equal interest in watching the women play? Or is maybe FIFA paying the men more because that's what people want to watch? Because it's a higher level of play. Much, much higher. Much higher. You know, when we talk about pricing things, it's not just the salaries of the female soccer players that have been kept secret. It is also what the hospitals charge you. You know, we had President Trump has done two very valuable things that he hasn't gotten a lot of credit for. And I think we need to acknowledge this. The Hill is pointing out that the Trump administration is now trying to get some disclosure of hospital prices published. You can't really have a socialist movement saying that the free marketplace has failed when we've never had a free marketplace. Going back to World War II, you had wage and price controls imposed during World War II. The IRS, however, said, as some of the employers said, well, we can't give anybody raises, so let's give them fringe benefits. And then the IRS said, okay, we will allow you to give fringe benefits because, you know, they're the administrative state. They make the rules. That was where it all began with the IRS. And now we got every three-letter bureaucracy everywhere writing our laws, determining policy, coming after individuals, assessing excessive fines, taking away our due process, taking away our presumption of innocence. But going back to World War II, what the IRS said was, all right, we'll let you provide insurance for your people. And that's the beginning of the third-party payer system that we have. So we don't have a free marketplace. We have consumers who have who are empowered to be able to pay for their health care and who have a knowledge and of what prices are and an incentive to try to save money. No, the third-party health care providers, they don't have an incentive really to save money. And we don't have any information about what the prices are. And so President Trump has tried to attack at least that part of it by saying that the big pharmaceutical companies, if it is an expensive drug, and I think the number was something like more than $300 a month that it's going to cost you, because almost all the drugs that they advertise on cable news, on Fox, on CNN, on MSNBC, pretty much all of those drugs are over $300 a month. So ask your doctor about that. Some of them are up to $16,000 per month. And so, along with the other side effects, they wanted the side effect of bankrupting you or bankrupting the company, the country, listed as a possible side effect. Now we've had a federal judge say, no, you can't ask that. You can't demand that they tell people what the price is if it's excessive? I don't know. How does he come up with that, or she? How does that judge come up with that arbitrary decision? If the government, if the Trump administration or the administrative state has the authority to say you got to list all the symptoms, how do they have the authority to say, how does a judge say, well, no, you, now you can't tell them that they got to list the price as well? And so that fight is going on. Now, President Trump, in a proposal released yesterday, reports The Hill, aims to make it easier for patients to shop around for the best price by forcing hospitals to disclose what are often secret rates negotiated with insurance companies. See, part of the problem is that if you got insurance, you typically don't even shop around. You really should, however, because the prices are so high, that 20% that you're paying or more, that is a big amount of money. So, yes, as a consumer, you should still shop around for that amount of money. We have a health-sharing system. Samaritan Ministries has been wonderful, The premiums, if you want to look at it that way, it's not health insurance. You have catastrophic insurance that kicks in, but it's health-sharing. And the amount that we pay as cash patients is typically less than what people pay who have insurance and pay their deductible. That's the reality. You ought to look into that. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, there's other ones. I think there's Liberty Share or something like that for people who are non-Christians. But anyway, the hospitals would be required to post online all charges for all items and services beginning January the 1st, 2020, until a federal judge says, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. We like the big pharmaceutical companies, and we don't want you to expose their price gouging or the hospitals. It would impact more than 6,000 hospitals across the country that accept Medicare. Hospitals are already required to publicly post their prices for services, but in a call with reporters, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Administrator said that the proposal would expand the requirement to include gross charges before discounts, as well as insurer-specific negotiated charges. The bottom line is if we have information and if we have competition across state lines, remember Marco Rubio trolling President Trump in the debates? The lines, you keep talking about the lines. What are these lines? He knew what the lines were. Just like Marco Rubio knew who Alex Jones was when Marco Rubio was holding hearings, little dog and pony show hearings about internet censorship of conservatives. And he pretended to not know who Alex Jones was within about a week of Alex Jones and InfoWars being deplatformed by all of the internet giants within 10 hours. I don't know who you are. I don't go to your website. Oh, wait. Yeah. little Marco Rubio. He didn't know about the lines either, he said, right? But you have to have competition. You have to have information. And then you also have to have incentive, which means that you get rid of this third-party system. Look, if you want private insurance, fine. But that's not really the way to go. Also, we just learned that we've now had a major hack. And this is just coming a couple of weeks after Equifax settled with the FTC because of the massive data breach going back 2 years ago. I think that one was about 150 million people. Now Capital One is telling us that over 100 million people have had their financial information hacked in the U.S. and Canada. Amazing when you look at this. And here's the kind of information that has been hacked. Names, addresses, zip codes, phone numbers, email addresses, dates of birth, self-reported income, your credit score, your credit limit, your balances, your payment history, your contact information, 140,000 social security numbers, 80,000 linked bank account numbers of, quote, secured credit card customers. We'll tell you how that happened, we'll tell you who did it, and we'll tell you about the geniuses at Capital One and the FBI who tracked down this hacker. Constantly identified as a woman, yet this individual is a transgender. This is an interesting story, and there's more to this than just the hack. It may be that George Gilder is right. Maybe we're starting to see the end of Google. Welcome back. Yesterday, I went to the auto parts place. I needed to get something for my car, and there was another customer there. They were trying to access a cloud database to cross-reference a part that she needed, and they couldn't get to it. The database was unavailable. When I get home, I find out that my wife is trying to get one of the cars inspected. She couldn't do it because their access to the vehicle inspection online link was down, and they couldn't update that. Everything is on a computer now. And then this morning, I see that Capital One lost 106 million credit card applications. Have we reached the point that George Gilder was talking about in Life After Google? He begins that book by talking about all the different interrogations that happen with password for this thing, another different password for that thing, and now we've got to get the, this and so forth. All of the security bags that have been added to the side of the services that are there. And George Gilder's central thesis in Life After Google is that their paradigm was to set up data that was free. In order for this to be valuable, they needed big data. They needed data about everything and everyone. And so to make this work, they made it free to use, and they gave free access. And now that's become a big issue because security and privacy, you know, those two things are not separate. You know, your privacy and your security, those are not separate things. They're not mutually exclusive. Just like your liberty and your security and your privacy, those things cannot be separated either. You either get all of them or you get none of them. We got to stop in America thinking that we can trade off our liberty and then somehow be safe by the police or by anybody else. It ain't going to happen. And so George Gilder's idea here is that, you know, we look at these social media companies and Google who have offered us all kinds of free services to get us to come into the digital public square or to come into their ghetto, as Matt Drudge called it when he came here in 2015. Yeah, they get you in the ghetto, into their walled garden, and then they shut the doors and they turn on the gas or turn on the commercials or start shutting people down, demonetizing people, deplatforming people, depersoning people, creating fatwas against the people that they hate and the political parties and the issues that they hate and so forth. Yeah, it is a term of control. Gilder's take on this is that as evil as these people are and as bad as this is, it's going to collapse from a security standpoint. They're going to need to rebuild on a paradigm that has security and privacy as the fundamental value and the building block on which everything else is built. It will be integrated in, not added on as a bag on the side later on as an afterthought. That will never work. It's not working too well for us now, is it? It's very inconvenient and it's very insecure. And this is the latest example of this. Again, Equifax, 2 years ago, about 150 million people. They just got fined a couple of weeks ago, came out, FTC fined them. And now we learn yesterday they went public with it. And I want you to look at take a look at the time frame of this. Again, this is 106 million credit card applications. It's all your personal information, your name, address, your credit scores, credit limits, balances, and so forth, your social security numbers, linked bank accounts of, quote, secured credit card customers. How secure is that, right? They should put that in air quotes, secured credit card customers. So what they're telling us is that this actually happened 4 months ago. As Wired Magazine reports, 4 months after the incident occurred, but within just 10 days of Capital One discovering it, the FBI had already made an arrest in connection with the crime. All right, FBI, boy, I tell you, those guys, are they sharp or what? I mean, it took them 3 years to figure out that this whole thing was a hoax, right? Being pulled by them. You know, their insurance plan and so forth. But boy, I tell you what, when there's a real crime out there, these guys are Johnny on the spot. It only took them 10 days to track down this hacker. And it only took Capital One 4 months to figure out that they'd been hacked. All their data hacked. Oh, it gets worse. It gets worse because this individual who did the hack, they had actually posted this information on his or her GitHub account with his or her full name and resume. And I say his or her because this individual is transgender. So maybe that was maybe that was the issue. Hey, look, I'm going to publicly post the fact that I've stolen all of this information. I'm going to put it on GitHub, and I'm going to put my name and address up there. Maybe he put the, or she, put a different gender name up there. Figured, oh, that's a, maybe put the dead name up there of the transgender. I don't know. Maybe that was the rationale behind this. This hacker went by the name, a hacker name, Erratic, and I don't know if that was referring to his or her gender or behavior in other areas of his or her life. The person is reported as Paige A. Thompson, 33, a biological male identifying as a female, and putting this on the GitHub account, which included her, quote unquote, her full name and resume. So it might have been male name up there, thinking get away with it. Now, on July, this is how the FBI and Capital One solved this. On July 17th, an unidentified tipster informed Capital One that all of their data was on GitHub, publicly available to anybody. They emailed the bank's responsible disclosure address with a brief warning about the data and a link to it on GitHub. Now, for 4 months, Capital One knew nothing about this. Finally, somebody sees the data on the internet and emails it to Capital One. They get on it right away. They call the FBI. Now, bear in mind, this has the hacker's name and address and full resume is up there on GitHub with all the information, bragging about, talking openly about stealing the data. And this stuff is there. And it still takes the FBI 10 days to find this person. Oh, I tell you what, we have given up our liberty and our privacy. And look at how these people are looking after our interests. We have Capital One who has to be notified by somebody that the information has been stolen. And then we have the FBI, even when they're given a link to the person, full name and resume, it takes them another 10 days to find it. I tell you, we cannot get into this world as George Gilder is talking about. You know, he says, hey, look, I'm in my late 70s or he's 80 or something like that. But he says, I think this is going to happen. While I'm still alive, I think it's going to happen pretty quickly. You know, when we see all these banks losing everybody's financial information, being this reckless, this incompetent, the FBI being this incompetent, I guess they couldn't be bothered because they were too busy watching the Mueller hearing to go arrest this person. Because that was what was happening about 10 days ago, right? They're all glued around the TV set to watch Mueller testify and take down Trump once and for all. They couldn't be bothered with arresting the guy who had just stolen 106 million records of people, all their financial privacy. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. Coming up, we're going to talk about how we've now got a Christian group that is warning the public about all these people who call themselves Christians and nationalists. They're dangerous. They've got to be shut down. Oh, I didn't see this coming, did you? We're going to talk about that. We're going to name some names. Of course, you know, one of the leaders of this that they're very happy about is the pastor who married Prince Andrew and Meghan Markle. Never thought he would be associated with a group that hates Christianity and nationalism, would you? Maybe these people won't be happy, I don't think, until Christianity goes full intersectional. You know, you're going to have to, if you've got a kid who is a biological male, you're going to have to transition them to female and vice versa. You know, we can't stay with the biological sex. We're going to have to transition everybody just to virtue signal to the LGBT lobby. how loving and kind we are, and open up all the borders and give everybody free everything. That's what these people are telling us. And these are, quote unquote, Christian leaders who are now coming after Christians who are identify themselves as Americans. So we'll be taking a look at that coming up in just a moment. But we're talking about data breaches. We're talking about life after Google. Take a look at this new Pixel 4 phone. They've got a new gesture control so that you don't have to actually touch this thing at all. You can just wave your hand in front of it. You know, my wife is half Italian. I think that's how the family is going to love this phone. They're always talking with their hands, right? Love them dearly. But you can just do all hand gestures and you can unlock this thing by looking at it, because guess what? It's got your face. It's got your all your biometric stuff. See, that's what I'm saying. When we look at the model that all of these internet companies have been built on, it's all about collecting information about you. And the last thing they need to know about you is all of your biometric information. Got to get everybody's faces. Got to do that. I'm just wondering when you're going to have to cut your finger and put your blood on there so they can get your blood type and do a DNA analysis as well. And part of what I'm concerned about at the border, look, I believe that the border is a very serious problem. I believe it needs to be controlled. I'm very concerned that Trump has gone this long without building any of the wall because he's been essentially gaslighted and blocked by these judges who say, no, 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 the executive has to do what we say. You are not a co-equal branch of government. You, the president, and the Congress will do what we, the judiciary, say. And the federal judiciary will dictate to all of the states and all the legislatures and all the people everything about their lives, even if it's something that is completely contained within the state. Or if it's something that's even completely contained within your family, they will dictate that to you. See, the federal government and the federal judges and the Supreme Court shouldn't have any say-so about abortion, one way or the other. That should be up to the individual states. But he's been blocked from doing anything about sealing the border. And this is exactly what both political parties, what the establishment wants. They want chaos at the border. They want a completely open border. And they want you very concerned about this. And you should be. You should be. But when I look at this and I hear all the talk about controlling the border coming from the Republicans and nothing being done, I'm looking at this and saying, are they trying to manufacture a crisis to panic the Republican grassroots so that we beg them for biometric data on all of us, beg them for permission to work granted by the federal government? They call that E-Verify. Yes, I think that is part of the game. And I think the establishment is using the open border to get us to beg for biometric identification. They're doing that now at the border, and everybody is applauding it. Do you understand that what they're doing to foreign citizens criminally trespassing at the border is eventually going to be done to you? And they're going to have you have to get permission from the government to have any kind of a job. So I look at this, and I'm very concerned about this. But again, Google says you'll be able to control its new phone without touching the screen. It'll just steal all of your biometric information. The short video shows how users will be able to control the phone without touching it, just using hand gestures. And, of course, you can unlock it by looking at it, just like Apple's Face ID. They said Android phone face unlock mechanisms, reports CNBC, have not been as secure as Face ID from Apple. And Android phones have instead relied on fingerprint readers for security and face unlock for convenience. So, you know, give it your fingerprint, give it your face. How much more are they going to want from us, right? Face unlock uses facial recognition technology processed on your device so that the image data never leaves your phone. That's what they tell everybody. Apple's told us that. Now Google is telling that. You know, we're told the same thing by Capital One and Equifax. We have this safe and secure. This will never leave our vaults. And yet, 150 million people found out otherwise with Equifax, and now 106 million people have found out otherwise with Capital One. And, of course, it also uses radar technology, just in case you're not getting enough radiation from your phone as it is. It'll allow you to skip songs, snooze alarms, silence phone calls just by waving your hand. How did we ever live without these wonderful things called cell phones? I mean, you know, just being able to skip songs, snooze alarms, and answer the phone calls. I think about all that we have given up in terms of privacy, in terms of health, in terms of liberty, so that we can play music and surf the internet. Are we idiots or what? YouTube, meanwhile, has now terminated the account of a Sacramento family who is fighting Verizon 5G, putting up a small cell tower next to their children's bedroom, next to the kids' bedroom. Unbelievable. A few people have signed up in Sacramento for 5G. Many people want it gone altogether, including this family, the Davidson family. They have been very public about experiencing symptoms of microwave sickness, of electromagnetic sensitivity from exposure. According to their GoFundMe page, YouTube now has canceled their account. And they posted this, and they said, we only had two videos. We only had two videos. How do you get three strikes with two videos? Well, that's easy. I've done that. I've done that with YouTube. They canceled one of my channels after just two videos. Interestingly enough, one of those videos was about 5G. Here's a family with two videos about 5G, and they get their YouTube channel canceled. Hey, folks, if you want to subscribe to my new YouTube channel, where I will have videos up about 5G, I'm going to be going into that in more detail today. You can subscribe to it and just see if they take me off. It's Libertarian. Libertarian. And I'm not going to shut up about any subjects that are haram, forbidden, verboten. I don't play that game. And so I'm going to be up there. But again, I guess they run a lot of ads for 5G and for Verizon and so forth. And so I guess just like the cable news channels, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, and their Ask Your Doctor big pharmaceutical ads, Google probably doesn't want anybody stepping on the toes of one of their big revenue sources either. And of course, they want that fast data to go through. It's not just the money that they're going to get direct from the ads, but of course, YouTube and Google want you tied ever, ever more tightly to that little thing in your hand. Can't live without it. You can download a feature film in HD in just a second or two, and it's worth any kind of brain cancer that you're going to get, any kind of health hobbling that you have. It's worth giving up your privacy and letting the NSA and the CIA know everything about you, follow your every move, create metadata to anticipate what you're about to do, because it's going to allow them to control the elections very easily. And it's not just what they allow you to see or not see. And it's not just Google. It's also Microsoft working with DARPA to control the news. NewsGuard and ElectionGuard to count the votes. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. Here tonight, we're going to have our coverage of the Democrat debates. The first one, the first half tonight, the first 10 clowns, and then the remaining 10 clowns, I guess, will be the following night. I think it's 10 each night. And we'll be covering that live. Folks, by the way, you know, InfoWars.com is being censored. Our links are being censored. We have a website that is set up, clownworld.us. clownworld.us. Now, we're going to be putting some stuff up there right now that is not yet being censored. So make sure you go there to take a look at stuff and share links from there so that it won't be censored by the masters of the internet, these people who Reason Magazine and others say, well, that's fine. You know, they're big corporations. We shouldn't do anything at all to them. They should be able to decide who can speak and who can't. And then, you know, I think, you know, just because they're big businesses, they should be able to come in and they should be able to work with the government and condemn your home and take that if they would prefer to set up a business there, you know, because we've had the Supreme Court say in the past with the Kello case. Yeah, you know, big business comes in, they'll pay more taxes than you will. So I'm going to let them condemn your property and do whatever they want because, you know, you're just nothing. Yeah, you're nothing at all. And this is what we're hearing from many people. But, you know, at the current time, now you can still go to clownworld.us to share links. And tonight we have a new bunch of specials here. This is hot off the press. We have 50% off of all InfoWars Life products, free shipping, double Patriot points, and more. This could be your last chance to stock up on InfoWars Life formulas before they are completely out of stock. The warehouse has confirmed that we're already selling out of Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and DNA Force. Now's the time to secure your order before they completely sell out. Take advantage of this massive special. Support the defense of free speech and reality at InfoWarsStore.com. And, of course, we still have up to 50% off InfoWars Life select storable foods. We have 40% off the Alexa Pure Gravity Feed Water Filter. And, you know, I was just looking at an article today from The Hill talking about how Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, and again, I don't agree with Blumenthal on pretty much anything, but I do agree with him about his concerns for a class of chemicals that are abbreviated as PFAS that are found in bottled water. They're found in tap water. He's now pushing the FDA to act to try to limit what they call these forever chemicals that are found in bottled water. So think about that. You know, you get your bottled water and, you know, the FDA says, yeah, we're going to regulate food and drugs. Now, forget about the fact for the moment that there is no constitutional authority for the federal government to regulate our food. That is something that is a responsibility and a power of the state and local governments to regulate the safety of our food and so forth. But no, let's just pretend that they've got that authority. They're not using it. Instead, they're totally preoccupied with shutting down stem cell clinics, where you can take the fat out of your own body, put it in a centrifuge, spin it out, get stem cells, and then it is very effective at curing many different diseases. But of course, you know, the big pharmaceutical companies aren't going to make a lot of money out of that. So the FDA wants to shut that down, but they don't care about protecting your water. Forget about the fact that you're paying so much for it when you buy bottled water. Forget about the fact that it's put into plastic bottles that also have BPA in it. But no, it's now loaded with, as they're pointing out, these PFASs. And so I said, you know, let's take a look at the Alexa Pure water filter. Does this get this? Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. It's a whole class of these. And if you go through page after page after page after page of what is filtered out by this filter, they have a section here, fluorinated organic acids, okay? And this is something that a whole class, again, of these chemicals, they are filtered out 99.9 plus percent. They only take it to one decimal point. So you're not going to get the Democrats, even though they may be doing the right thing in this particular instance. You're not going to get them to protect you and to clean your water. You're not going to get the FDA to do it. You're not going to get the EPA to do it. It's up to you. You can buy a Gravity Feed water filter. You can get it for 40% off right now. You know, we were always, that was one of the first products that Alex Jones sold. And people would troll him and say, yeah, this fearmonger out there talking about the fluoride and the chemicals in the water. Oh, these guys, you know, conspiracy theorists. And yet the reality is that it really is there. And that the EPA is really not doing anything about it. They don't really care. And neither is your local city government. As a matter of fact, they may be the ones who are putting the lead in the water if you're in Flint, Michigan. So take a look at the specials that we've got at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support. We've got some massive sales there. Again, 50% off all InfoWars Life formulas, free shipping, and double Patriot points right now at InfoWarsStore.com, part of our Clowns Storewide Mega Sale. And we also have some people. We've put up a direct donation site here where you can make direct donations to InfoWars. Just call out a few of the people who have donated money. We have Beverly in Miami, $25. William in Birmingham, Alabama, $100. We have Pamela in Beaumont, Texas, $25. Many others. Most of these are small donations, and we really do appreciate that because it really does add up. Right now, It has added up to over $42,000. So we really do appreciate you standing with us. If you don't stand with us, we will not be here. So we really do appreciate that. Getting back to the news, everybody's talking about what happened in California. And I understand it is a tragedy. Two of the three people that were killed, very young children. We have one of the individuals who was there, went on CNN. And he told CNN something they did not want to hear. This is a story put up by Kellen McBreen, Infowars.com. Let's play the video, this interview of Brendan Gorsha, I think, interviewed by CNN. Here's what he had to say.
Pretty much from the point he raised his rifle, we pretty much saw him from when he came over the fence. And, we were leaving. We were driving out. We're headed home because we get to park inside. We work the festival, and we were headed out behind the booths. And as we came around the corner, we heard a pop, pop. And I kind of looked over in the direction, and I saw a bunch of, teenagers take off and a pop, 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 pop. And at first thought, it was like, why are these kids lighting off firecrackers? But then I kind of looked over a little more, and I saw the gunman just gun raised, pop, 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 walking into the festival. And I told I was close enough. I could have ran him over. If I didn't have my daughters, I probably would have, if I had a gun, I probably could have ended it right there. But
he said, I just felt helpless, he goes on to say. And that is not what CNN wanted to hear. This, as we pointed out yesterday, a gun-free zone. Not only gun-free, it is weapon-free. You can't have a pocket knife in there. No shillelaghs allowed, nothing. So with all the laws, with all the security, he goes through a fence and he shoots people because he's the only one with a weapon. Again, this guy telling CNN, he said, I was close enough, I could have run him over. If I didn't have my daughters, I probably would have. If I'd had a gun, I probably could have ended it right there, but I felt helpless. He said, I was angry, and I felt helpless. The police allegedly shot the assailant within a minute, but even that wasn't quick enough as he killed three and injured 15. This man who was talking to CNN, Brendan Gorsha, and his two young daughters witnessed the six-year-old getting shot. And then he said he even yelled at the attacker, causing him to turn his gun towards him and his family. He said, I got out of my truck. I screamed at him. I said, hey, and he started to turn towards us. I threw it, that is a truck, in reverse, started backing up fast, screaming at people to get down and run. The guy panicked and started running toward the fence. But for some reason, he changed his mind and turned around and raised that gun, and he just walked into the festival and continued. Because, you see, if you've got people, good guys with guns, can limit the damage that is done by someone like this. Now, the guy who did it, they've now identified as a 19-year-old individual. He had, as AP style sheet requires, and as it's reported by the press, a, quote, assault-style rifle. And, again, this was a gun-free zone. Not only was this guy feeling angry, he was also feeling helpless. The shooter was angry. He said, as one person screamed out, he said, why are you doing this? He said, I'm really angry. The individual that talked to CNN, who did not have a gun, was not only angry, but he was helpless, as he said. Who is this guy, and why was he doing this kind of stuff? Well, it turns out that he had some racist tweets that he put out. Why overcrowd towns and pave more open space to make room for hordes of mestizos and Silicon Valley white twats? He's somebody who identified with some 19th century anarchist. Social Darwinism, right there. Okay, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As everybody talks constantly about the three individuals killed at the Garlic Festival in California, nobody's really talking much about the fact that 20 people were murdered in Tijuana in 24 hours. 20 people murdered in 24 hours. That's kind of just business as usual, just like it is in Chicago or places like Baltimore. Baltimore, where the murder rate per capita per 100,000 people per year, that's the figures that they cite, is twice what it is in Chicago. Twice what it is in Chicago. Or take this, what we've got in Africa right now. Boko Haram, again, doing an attack on a Nigerian funeral. At least 60 people killed there. But don't criticize that, because that would be Islamophobic and it would be racist. Except the fact that the Boko Haram people, yeah, they are Islamic, but, you know, they're Islamic people against Christians. So it's black Muslims against black Christians. It's also black Muslim men against black women there. Because, you know, the Boko Haram, Haram means forbidden, right? What is forbidden? Well, it's education. Specifically, education of women. Remember all the different times they've gone in and kidnapped everybody in a school and taken them away? Because education of women is forbidden. Absolutely forbidden. But we don't want to talk about that, because that would be Islamophobic. It would be racist to talk about Islam, even though Islam is not a race. It is a religion, a culture, a political philosophy. But don't talk about that. Don't talk about the fact that tens of thousands of people have been killed in Nigeria as Boko Haram goes after Christians, or that 2.5 million have been displaced in Nigeria and surrounding countries by these Islamic radicals. I'm sorry. and yet, you know, we look at this, we look at what's going on in Tijuana with the drug cartels that are there as well. We shouldn't worry about that. We don't want to have anything that's going to restrict their movement into our country. Nothing at all. Anything that you do to restrict the movement of drug cartel people, you know, a wall or something like that. And again, I support the wall, because I don't want to see this kind of biometric identification being foisted upon American citizens through the back door, if you will, through the back door of the border, getting us begging for that, begging for permission to have jobs from Washington. And then in California, as everybody is hyping up this shooting at the Garlic Festival as a an assault rifle weapon, we had a federal judge in California ruled last week, just in time, that banning semi-automatic rifles is not a violation of the right to keep and bear arms, according to the Second Amendment. This is a federal judge, U.S. District Judge Josephine Staten, has said that rifles, quote, are incredibly effective killing machines. Yes, that's right. They're also incredibly effective at protecting innocent life, as the individual who was interviewed by CNN would explain to her, given half the opportunity. You see, the difference is who is allowed to have the guns. She said congressional findings say that semi-automatic rifles have a rate of fire that's 300 to 500 rounds per minute. And they are the weapons of choice for gangs and for mentally deranged persons bent on mass murder. So by her ruling, then that means that only mentally deranged people like the shooter at the Garlic Festival will be allowed to have weapons. Only gang members who in Tijuana killed 20 people in 24 hours, only they will be allowed to have weapons. The sane people will not be allowed to defend themselves or other innocent life there. Yes, they are effective at killing machines. So were muzzle loaders and cannons when the British came for them at Concord and Lexington. That is what the Second Amendment is about. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, there is a dilemma that is coming up for the UK government. The UK government that has bent over backwards for anything that Muslims want in the UK, and also pushed mandatory vaccines without informed consent. And now they've got a problem. They've got a dilemma. You've got Muslim parents who don't want their children vaccinated with a flu vaccine because they say that it is non-halal. It is, they use gelatin that is derived from pigs as part of this vaccine. And so these Muslim parents are saying, you're not going to inject my kids with pig gelatin. You got to love this. What is the UK government going to do about this? I mean, it's almost like the schadenfreude that we have when we see the LGBT groups start to fight each other. The lesbians fighting the transgenders. Now you've got the Muslims fighting the big pharmaceutical interest. What? Whose side is the British government going to take? And this is going to be interesting. See how this whole thing shakes out. British public health officials, reports Breitbart, are concerned. They're concerned by the number of Muslim parents who could refuse to let their children receive the flu vaccine. Remember, the most ineffective vaccine that is sold, the flu vaccine. By their own data, the CDC says, it's maybe about 10% effective. Usually we don't get the right strain of flu. We don't have any idea what we're actually even vaccinating against. And even when we do it and we get the right one just by a crapshoot, it's not very effective. But we want you all to take it anyway. Yeah, because our friends here who give us money every time we run for office, they want you to buy their product. So it's kind of interesting. Is it going to be racist to force these Muslims to take a vaccine? They've already forced Christians and Jews to do that, especially here in the United States. You want to assert that you've got religious exemption? No thanks. Not going to let that happen. Not in California, not in New York. Not if you're Christian, not if you're Jewish. Will they let the Muslims assert religious objections in the UK or even here for that matter? I mean, this could spread to the United States, hopefully. Hear this, Muslims? Pay attention. Send this report to all your Muslim friends here. More than 4,000 people have signed a petition demanding an end to schools serving Sharia law compliant non-stun halal meat. Okay, so when you have the people have to sign petitions to the government saying we want to have this kind of meat or we don't want to have that kind of meat or we don't want to have pig vaccines. maybe they should pay attention to simian virus number 40 that was put in the polio shots for years. Did they get that out? Did they ever get that out? Or is that still in there? Yeah. You might want to check the ingredients list there. Last year, the Vegetarian Society objected to the use of the pig gelatin. They said that was upsetting, but they didn't advise the vegetarian parents to deny the children the flu vaccine. So that's not, the vegans weren't going to push it. Vegans who don't like to have anything that is animal derived. And of course, the government tells them that the gelatin is purified to the point that there is no pig DNA remaining in it. And you can trust everything the government says, right? I know I do. I know I do. I wouldn't trust that if I were the Muslims. I would say, nope, not getting that shot. And as we're speaking of Muslims and as we're speaking of Boko Haram killing 60 people at a funeral procession, how about that? Because they're Christians, they deserve it. That's in Nigeria. Rand Paul is now being trolled and somewhat threatened by not only Tom Arnold, but also by Ilhan Omar. Tom Arnold, you may remember, of course, he is now faded into obscurity long, long, long ago. He is Roseanne Barr's ex-husband, and he is a never-Trumper, to put it mildly. So he puts out, he hates everybody who's Republican, not just Trump. He's an equal opportunity hater. And so he puts out a tweet. Imagine being Rand Paul's next door neighbor and having to deal with Rand Paul, this lying, cowardly, circular, whiny bullcrap about lawn clippings. Yeah, he deserved it, right? And then Ilhan Omar retweeted it. So a lot of people have had something to say about that. And they should, right? I mean, if we're going to have these speech rules, shouldn't they be applied equally by our internet masters? They have these terms of service and these rules that they create. But again, just like the laws and the rules that we have out of Washington, they're not applied equally to everybody. You know, if you're James Comey or Hillary Clinton, you walk. If you're a Democrat, you walk. You don't get censored. You don't get declared as hateful or bullying. Can you imagine, though, if it had been on the other hand? What if Roseanne Barr had said something was justified, you know, some attack on some Democrat congressman was totally justified? Well, we already know what would happen. You know, Roseanne Barr would be punished the way she's already been punished, for saying nothing. For saying nothing. And so Ilhan Omar retweets that. As Roseanne Barr pointed out, you know, when she was making fun of Valerie Jarrett, again, she said, I didn't even know she was black. I showed the picture to my son, who had not seen a picture of her. He didn't know that she was black. I mean, you wouldn't think that. But anyway, she said that she didn't do that intentionally. She apologized, but it was not good enough. Now, Tom Arnold hasn't had to apologize. Ilhan Omar hasn't had to apologize. And this is coming right after Rand Paul had said, how about if I offer to, you hate this country so much, what if I pay for you to go back to Somalia? Maybe then you'll be better able to appreciate America that gave you refuge after all of the violence and the chaos and the government that you lived under. And Tom Arnold, she hates anybody who's a Republican. When Doug Stafford, who's one of Ron Paul's chief strategists, saw this, he said, Omar has said, quote, violent rhetoric has no place in society, yet she shares a joke from Tom Arnold. I mean, really, this is the 21st century, and this is the internet. This is social media. Jokes are not allowed, folks. We do not allow jokes anymore. Unless you are of the correct political persuasion. That's what we mean by political correctness. Certain people who have politically correct connections, politically correct ideas, they will be allowed to joke or troll or say anything or bully people or hate people. And that's fine. Because you understand all of these speech rules are simply about controlling you and controlling debate. And silencing one side while letting the other side do whatever they wish. And so she has said, this violent rhetoric has no place in society. And Doug Stafford, Rand Paul's chief strategist, said, well, it was nice of her to provide even more evidence that she is a person with vile anti-American beliefs and values, who apparently also supports violence for political disagreements. Again, remember that it was Rand Paul's neighbor, severely injured him. I mean, broke six ribs. Now, if you've ever had a broken rib, it is extremely, extremely painful. And blindsided him. You know, he had his headphones on. He's using the lawnmower. This guy comes running up. Typical Democrat attack. Sucker punch from the back. You know, the other way that Rand Paul got blindsided was by President Trump signing the 9/11 Victims Compensation Bill. Another low blow to Rand Paul and to anybody who cares about any kind of fiscal responsibility. Look, this isn't about the victims of 9/11. If the government's story about 9/11 is true, then let the Saudis pay. Don't block that lawsuit. Force the Saudis to pay for this. Or if you don't want to do that, at least as Rand Paul said, he said, look, I'm not against giving the money to these victims, but we have to say, well, in a given period of time, we're going to allocate this amount of money and we're going to pay for it like this. Rand, they don't care that way. They don't care about the deficit anymore. It's going to be $1 trillion a year from here on out, as far as we can see. They don't have to pay for anything. 2092, they're going to keep putting money out there, funds as we deem necessary. We'll be right back.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, can do.
Yeah, tonight we got the horse race back on again. We're going to have the Democrat debates. We're going to be covering it live here at Infowars.com. Again, put out the link to clownworld.us because our links to Infowars.com are being blocked by our masters of the internet. So again, clownworld.us, but we will be having that coverage live. And as we begin this next stage of the horse race, I don't think you're going to see Paul Revere up on stage. I don't think you're going to see Betsy Ross either. You're... They're clowns, but they're also criminally insane. And it looks like most of these guys have just escaped, and women have just escaped from Arkham Asylum. The majority of Americans are rejecting cash reparations for slavery. Now, remember, this is one of these questions that if you were to ask, go down the line and ask these people, I think it's pretty much unanimous that all two dozen of them support cash reparations for slavery. Kamala Harris is getting very specific. Well, I think we need to earmark for black businesses and black homes and black this and so forth. We're going to shower them with cash. It's the most blatant corruption I've ever seen in my life. Again, H.L. Mencken characterized elections as an advanced auction of stolen goods. And that's exactly what this is. This is an advanced auction of stolen goods for misdeeds of 150 years ago. How about that? Back to the Future. Back to the Future meets H.L. Mencken in this clown world debate. Yeah, we're going to go back 150 years ago, and somehow we're going to repair the damage done to those people by penalizing people today who had absolutely nothing to do with it. And we're going to compensate people who were not harmed by that. That's the reality of this. And the majority of Americans reject that. 67%, says Gallup, don't think that the government ought to do reparations. And yet, pretty much 100% of the Democrats running for president believe that they should. There's somehow a disconnect there, don't you think? 49% of Democrats support reparations, but 47% don't. This is not even popular in their own party. Their own party is split 50-50. It's only popular with the people who think they're going to be getting the money. 73% of black Americans. Everybody else either says by overwhelming majority, this is not a good idea, or is like, I don't know. 49-47. That's your base talking to you. Only half of your base, less than half of your base, thinks that that's a good idea. 92% of Republicans reject that idea. That's something that they're very big on, every single one of them. But that's not the only issue. They've got a lot of issues. They have issues. Rahm Emanuel wrote an op-ed piece yesterday. It was published on Medium. He said, if you win, this is a note to his fellow Democrats, if you win the nomination in a way that forecloses a path to victory in the general election, we will lose and your name will go down in infamy. Yes, it will be down there in a footnote of the people who lost the worst in any election. I think that this is a race to the bottom for these Democrats. He went on to say, and I've said, how many times have I said this? Is Rahm Emanuel a listener? No, he just has common sense. He says, before our party promises health care coverage to undocumented immigrants, a position that not even Ted Kennedy took, let's help the more than 30 million Americans who are a single illness away from financial ruin. How many times have I said that on this program? We haven't heard President Trump saying that yet, but Rahm Emanuel has said it. Maybe he is a listener. I don't know. I've said that over and over again. It's pretty clear, isn't it, to all Americans that the Democrats don't care about Americans. They care about foreigners, especially the ones, not even the ones who come here legally. They don't care about the foreigners who come here with respect to the law. They want to reward the foreigners who crash the gates, the barbarians at the gates, the foreign citizens who are criminally trespassing. They're the ones who get the rewards, not the American citizens and not the legal immigrants. No, nothing for them. We're going to give preferential treatment in colleges. If you are a foreign citizen criminally trespassing, you can get in-state tuition pretty much all the schools, especially all the ones that are in Democrat states. You get special exemption when you commit violent crimes, or where you commit sexual assault, or when you are drunk driving. You get special benefits for being a foreign citizen. Now, if you're an American, or if you are a legal immigrant who has now become an American citizen, no, we're going to come down on you pretty hard. But these foreigners, hey, criminally trespassing, that's fine. No problem. And when it comes to health care in California, they're going to give free health care to these foreign citizens criminally trespassing. But if you're an American in California, forget about it. We're not there for you. The Democrats cry crocodile tears at the border, or not even at the border. People like AOC will go to a parking lot, stand on one side of a chain link fence, and on the other side, you've got a bunch of immigration officers with SUVs, and she weeps like she is crying for the children. Crying for the children. And yet, does she shed a single tear for the thousands upon thousands of American children who are taken from families without any due process, so that the vast system of CPS and foster care can make billions of dollars in that vast bureaucracy? We have an entire bureaucracy that is set up to kidnap American children, to separate them from their families, to not give the parents any due process, no presumption of innocence, not even told what the charges are. These people who have their kids, if in fact they are their kids, the reason that they're held, the reason that they're separated, is because of the border. They're trying to determine if they really are their kids. In America, they know those are your kids, and they're going to take them. And they're not going to give you any due process. And you better scratch up the money and go find a lawyer to even find out what the charges against you are, why they've taken your kids and put them in foster care. AOC said, these kids at the border, they've been so severely damaged that we should be giving them psychological care for the rest of their life. And yet, that happens to American children, put in foster care, taken from their children, never even an accusation of violence or sexual assault, taken from their parents, put in foster care. Many times it takes more than a year for their parents to fight the system, to prove their innocence, to find out what the crime is, and then to prove their innocence. Yet no tears shed for that. So Rahm Emanuel is right. You have closed the door on swing voters. You've told America, these 20 Democrats have told America, they hate you. They absolutely hate you. You are second class, not second class citizens, but you are second class because you are citizens. McClatchy goes to some other Democrats who are saying the same thing. Bob Buckhorn, a former centrist Democrat mayor of Tampa, said the candidates are lurching too far to the left on key policy issues. He says, I don't think most Americans are comfortable with some of what they heard in that last debate. I think it's unfortunate. You know, things like eliminating private health insurance, decriminalizing illegal border crossings. Oh, wait, they admitted that it's a crime to cross the border right now, so they want to not make it a crime. But now they've admitted that it is a crime. They are foreign citizens criminally trespassing. And then the problem is that just like we saw with Julian Castro, they're so desperate to get to the left of everybody else. They'll start doing things like saying, I want abortions for trans feminists. You'll probably see something like that tonight. Up the ante. I can imagine he went on and he said, I seriously said that?
Making sense common again. This is The David Knight Show.
All right, let's take a look at some of the crazy things that the Democrats are doing to try to out-left each other. Of course, one of the craziest things is the Green New Deal. So crazy that even some of the Democrat leadership tried to get AOC to pull back on it, but no such luck. She's on full speed ahead. You know, she told everybody, look, you're not going to be able to have cars. You're not going to fly anywhere. No air conditioning, no meat, nothing. It's like, shh, don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. You're not supposed to tell them how this is going to end up. You know, you got to get them into the cells first, you know, pack them into the cities, take away the cars gradually. And, you know, then we can shut down the other forms of transportation. But let's get this 5G stuff turned on and pack them into the cities first. You know, don't tell them the end game here. She blabbered it out. And now some people are cranking some of the numbers here. You got Sam Dorman. Fox News says swing state households would lose at least $70,000 each within the first year of the Green New Deal. And we're talking about swing states here. These are states that they have to win. So you got reliably Republican states or reliably Democrat states. These are the ones that could go either way. And they could go the other way if the people actually look at the data. Within the first year of implementing the program, the average household in each of the given states that they looked at, Alaska, Florida, New Hampshire, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, swing states, would incur at least $70,000 in expenses per household. You got an extra $70,000 stuffed into your mattress? You know, you might want to lift up that cushion and start looking for the spare change that fell out of your pockets. Because you're going to need it if any of these Democrats get elected. Followed in subsequent years, $45,000 in annual expenses for each of the following 2 to 5 years, and then over $37,000 after that time frame. Now, this is just the dollars and cents cost. This is not the cost that comes to your liberty and to your free choice. All these pro-choice Democrats, and yet they have got a list of things that they're going to demand that you do, another list of things that they're going to demand that you cannot do. And they're going to tie you down with all this free stuff. All this free stuff. Yeah, there's no such thing as a free lunch, as the people in that Pennsylvania school district found out when, just to teach them a lesson, school officials said, you know, I've got $20,000 here that's owed by about 1,000 parents. You aren't up to speed on their lunch money here. I'm going to send out a letter threatening to take their kids away for abuse and turn them over to foster care because they owe me on average $20 each. 4 of those families owe me $450. Don't you think that's enough to steal somebody's kid for? And even after a businessman who typically supports Democrat causes comes out and says, I don't want to see anybody's kids taken away because they own money. Now, I didn't see AOC crying at that school district about people having their kids taken away over a $20 bill, school lunch. Yeah, there is no such thing as free lunch, and there is no such thing as compassion from these phony Democrats for your children because you're just a filthy American. You're not just a second-class citizen. You're second-class because you're a citizen, as far as the Democrats are concerned. You can forget about liberty. You can forget about choice, all these pro-choice Democrats. The battleground state of Pennsylvania, for example, for the entire state. We talked about that on a per capita basis, each household. $70,000 the first year, $45,000 for years 2 through 5, $37,000 a year for perpetuity. Because why? Oh, because they've got a way to steal your money. They call it the Green New Deal. In Pennsylvania, though, for the entire state, they worked it out as to they would have a cost of $2 quadrillion in cost. Florida would encounter a $1.4 quadrillion price tag. Let's talk about this a minute. It's kind of hard to get a handle around these numbers, right? A million is 10 to the 6th. A billion is 10 to the 9th. A trillion is 10 to the 12th power. A quadrillion is 10 to the 15th power. 10 to the 15th power. I mean, this is beyond belief. A quadrillion, as I point out, is 250 times the annual federal budget. That's how astronomical it is. You can't even get your head around the federal budget. I was just talking about this yesterday, talking about the fact that we got all these news sources talking about, hey, look, they injected $2 million of counterfeit money in Denver. Woo! Well, look at what the federal government just did. $2 trillion. Like I said, okay, well, let's think about that. You know, $2 million injected into one city. What if it was $2 billion? That'd be 1,000 times that. So we'd have, you know, 1,000 cities. And if we distributed those 1,000 cities equally over the 50 states, that would be a massive counterfeiting operation dropping $2 million into 20 cities in each of the 50 states. That's pretty hard to imagine, isn't it? Well, now let's go to $2 trillion, which is what Trump and Schumer and McConnell and Pelosi and others, Democrat and Republican and the president, all decided that they would drop on us over the next 2 years, another $2 trillion. So what does that amount to? Well, that is another 1,000 times what I just mentioned. So instead of 20 cities having somebody drop $2 million of counterfeit cash on them, in each of the 50 states. Imagine 20,000 cities in each of the 50 states and a massive counterfeit operation where they drop $2 million in each of those 20,000 cities in each of those 50 states. You know, the Nazis did that to the Germans during World War II. It's called Operation Bernhard. They're burning the cash pretty hard in Washington. They're going at it at a much faster pace than the Nazis did. Why did the Nazis do that? They said, we can destroy the British if we counterfeit their currency. What do you think the people in Washington are doing to America? It's Operation Burn the Currency Really Hard. Stoke up the fire. Print that money. Quantitative easing. Lower the interest rates. Forget about the annual deficit. Forget about the cumulative debt. Let's just pile it on for $1 trillion a year. No problem whatsoever. No problem. And then Kamala Harris and AOC, Alexandria in Wonderland, have teamed up for what they call a Green New Deal bill for the poor. And I'm not talking about that one. That one is going to make us, that's Green New Deal for the poor, to make everybody poor. Because, you know, they want us all to be equal. So we can all be, as is always the case with socialism, you get equality in poverty. Isn't that nice? But we're all equal. That's the important thing. I don't want to see anybody out there with more money than me. The envy that is the basis for socialism and the Democrat Party. So I don't want to see anybody out there with more money than me. And if they do have more money than me, I am entitled to steal it. Steal it. And I'm justified because that's fair and that's equal. The Climate Equity Act is what they're calling their theft. Even Politico, talking about taxes with the Democrats, said, well, you know, it's something that all the Democrats have got their own tax program. Elizabeth Warren's signature issue is a wealth tax. Bernie Sanders wants to increase the estate tax. Joe Biden is targeting a tax loophole for wealthy heirs. Others want to raise corporate taxes. Others want to raise capital gain taxes. Others want to raise marginal tax rates. Tonight, we're going to see them haggling over the best way to increase taxes. There's a winning formula right there for you, right? And then they point out the next paragraph, when Republicans come into office, they cut taxes for everyone. Why is this even a decision that anybody has to make? And I ask you, if we are now entered the realm where taxes don't matter, where the deficit doesn't matter, where the debt doesn't matter, and we just had both Republicans and Democrats agree, it doesn't matter. You don't need to pay for anything. Nothing has to be paid for. We got MMT. We got modern monetary theory, as I call it, the magic money theory. If you've got modern monetary theory and the deficits don't matter and the debt doesn't matter, why do you have to tax anybody? Right? Oh, it's because they like to rob people. Yes, they are criminally insane. Welcome back. Don't forget, tonight we're going to have live coverage of the next Democrat debate. Tonight and tomorrow night, you'll have the dozens of candidates vying for who can take away the most money and freedom of choice from you and who can redistribute it to their friends. And so you can follow that at InfoWars.com. But remember, we are now being blocked severely by social media. Links that have InfoWars.com in it are being blocked. So you might want to share that as clownworld.us. Clownworld.us is one of the domains where you will be finding the same information. And so far, that is not being censored. As part of the special tonight, we have now instituted some new sales. We have the Stop the Clowns Storewide Mega Sale. We have 50% off all InfoWars Live formulas. We have free shipping and double Patriot points. Many other things. We have run out of some of the top items that we had featured in the last couple of weeks. The warehouse has confirmed we're already selling out of Survival Shield X2, Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, DNA Force. Now is the time to get your order in before they are completely out. But again, up to 50% off all InfoWars Life formulas. We have up to 50% off InfoWars Life select storable food. And then some items you'll find, like Real Red Pill and Real Red Pill Plus, are 60% off. Take a look at the massive sales at InfoWarsStore.com. And remember, tune in tonight, InfoWars.com, for the debate coverage, as well as don't forget our website, clownworld.us. And we just want to reach out to those people who have been making donations. I'll mention a couple of them on air here because we really do appreciate that. We've had a donation from Anthony, Richmond, Virginia, $50. We've had one from Pamela, Beaumont, Texas, $25. Charlotte, North Carolina, we have Richard, donated $100. Thank you so much for all of, to all those people who have stood with us, all of you who buy the products that we sell. We try to make this as win-win as possible. Many people have now donated directly to InfoWars, and we really do appreciate that. You can see the we've got a little metric there that shows what the grand total is. I don't know what it is right now. Earlier in the program, it was $42,300. And so those contributions of it's what now? Oh, wow. It's doubled. 86,000. Wow. That is a, and almost all of these are between $25 and $100. But of course, you know, we really do, those contributions really do add up. We really do appreciate that. Let's talk a little bit more about what may be coming up again tonight. Again, you've got all these Democrat politicians who actually know how to win races, agonizing over the direction that these presidential candidates who are vying with each other to see how far to the left they can go. Politico talking about how each of them has their own pet tax that they want to do and how they're going to have to fight. I just think, you know, they just agree. They're Democrats. They can raise everybody's taxes everywhere on everything, right? I mean, what's the discussion here? But again, as I said just before we went to break, why are they even having this discussion? Didn't they just agree with the Republicans last week that deficits don't matter? The annual deficit doesn't matter. They're going to add, they're going to have an annual deficit at least the next 2 years of nearly $1 trillion each year to be added to the cumulative debt, which is already about $20 trillion. I can't even keep up with it. $1 trillion, $20 trillion, and going to add another 10%. To the cumulative debt that we've had since the beginning of America. Just another 10% in just 2 years. I mean, it is, you talk about a launch. I mean, that is going up exponentially. But if they don't care about that, why is it necessary for the Democrats to continue to raise taxes? And as I said, we're going to break it simply because they like to steal. I think maybe a better analogy for this is Arkham Asylum. You know, we've got the Joker. We've got Two-Face. You've got Penguin and Pocahontas. I mean, you've got everybody there. You've even got Pee-wee Herman, Mayor Pee-wee. You got a whole cast of the criminally insane who steal from you, who raise your taxes just because they like to steal. They don't need the money. They keep telling everybody the deficit doesn't matter, but they want to raise your taxes because they want to make you dependent on them. That's the most criminal part of their insanity. And when you can't come up with enough taxes and enough spending to impoverish America, to squander what has been built in this country over multiple centuries, these people are going to squander away in less than 10 years if they have their way. As you see, this deficit, again, a cumulative deficit of about 20 trillion dollars over, you know, what, about 250 years or whatever that they've accumulated. And then they're going to raise that by an additional 10% in just 2 years. Oh, and that doesn't even come close to what they want to spend. Not even close. And so when they get to this, and again, it's just like we saw in the last debate, Julian Castro, he's got to be more politically correct than everybody else. Abortions? Yes, yes, of course. At any point in time. Up to and beyond a birth. Let's kill kids. And we got to pay for it. We're going to pay for it for everybody. So it's like, oh, what am I going to do? I got to do something that's even bigger than that. I know. Abortions for trans females. In other words, biological men. And now when it comes to the tax issue, you've got John Delaney desperate to be noticed. How do you get noticed in a field of Democrats who want to tax and spend America into oblivion? Well, he's got an idea. It's called forced labor. Reason Magazine points out, he came up over the weekend with a mandatory national service for teens, promising to force America's high school graduates to spend a year working for the government, whether they want to or not. That's the way you get, because that's what taxes are, right? They force you to work for the government whether you want to or not. That's called taxation. Taking the fruit of your labor. Taking away, if they go after wealth, which is what many of these Democrats want to do, what you've been able to save after your labor. Take that away. And if they can't do that, they can just make the dollar worthless. So even if you can stash it away somewhere, if it's in dollars, it's going to be worthless by the time these people get finished with it. He tried to grab attention by getting more extreme than even the tax and spend Democrats on it. You know, he's pulled a Julian Castro here. He has a plan. He says on his site, quote, all Americans would be required to serve their country for at least 1 year with an option to serve for two. This requirement would apply to everyone upon turning 18. No exceptions. John Delaney. John Delaney. No exceptions. Yeah, these are the Democrats who continue to call themselves pro-choice. Pro-choice. No exceptions. You must serve. The only thing they want you to make a choice about is to kill your child. Everything else they are going to mandate or ban. Band-aids. Band-aids. New adults will have four options. Listen to these options. Well, you can join the military. You can join a new community service organization like AmeriCorps, you can take on an infrastructure apprenticeship, public-private partnerships to do things like improving parks and upgrading federal buildings. Oh, kind of sound, you know, dig a ditch. We're back to the FDR New Deal program, right? It seems like, you know, we've had the New Deal, we've had the military draft, that wasn't too popular with Democrats, was it? What is this guy doing? Again, he just has to do more slavery than the other people. And that's why I want to know, where are my reparations for being a tax slave? That's why they talk so much about black reparations. They don't want you to realize that you are a slave on the Washington plantation. You know where they hand out all that free stuff, all those pork barrels? You know, you just, on election day, you just line up there at the pork barrel. They stick a fork in it and hand you a piece, if you're lucky, if you're the right color. Or here's the fourth choice that you got here. Love this one. They can join a new Climate Corps. The Climate Corps. It used to be the Peace Corps. Now it's the Climate Corps, the Infrastructure Apprenticeship, AmeriCorps, or the military. But Climate Corps would assist in clean energy projects. Oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? And it's all about slavery, just like the entire tax system is about slavery. But AP is telling us that Trump is in big trouble because suburban women are recoiling as Trump dives into racial politics. Yeah, that's what they're trying to tell us. I just don't like the way he talks about other people. So, you know, get in line for your government handout. Get in line for your quadrillion tax bill for your state. You don't like the way Trump talks about people? Fine. You got an extra $70,000 there in your mattress. That's going to be the first year you're going to have to pay to these Democrats for their green new steel. We'll be right back.
Plant the seed in our home, and boys, let it grow where all can see. Feed it with our devotion, boys.
Liberty. It's your move. You're listening to the David Knight Show.
We are the sons of liberty.
Welcome back. You know, the guy I was just talking about, John Delaney, desperate to be more authoritarian, to take more from you than the other Democrats. Again, all of them have multiple tax programs. You know, we're going to tax your state. We're going to tax your wealth. We're going to raise your income taxes, or all the above. And John Delaney, desperate to stick out from among this pack, has now come out with a forced labor plan, which is what I thought the taxes were anyway. But no, I mean, you're not going to be able to make any money at all. You're going to have to take a year, maybe two. No options out of that. If you're young, you know, when you are going to be required to be a literal slave to the government without any reparations whatsoever. And this is going to be for everybody, every color. No reparations for slavery, says John Delaney. That should be the headlines. No reparations for slavery. I've got a slavery plan for you right here. That's why I said they're talking about all this reparation stuff for two reasons. They want a racial civil war. and because they don't want you to realize that you really are slaves, as they add on more programs to confiscate your labor. That, folks, is what's called a slave, or to make you a literal slave for a year or two. All these pro-choice Democrats. And he's going to be one of the guys tonight. Tonight, they're going to have Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. First time they meet each other in the debate. Again, Elizabeth Warren was kind of sheltered in the first round of debates. They put her on the kiddie table. She was the only one of the major candidates there, so she didn't really have any major opponents there with her. All of the candidates, Biden and others, who were higher in the poll, they were all on the second night fighting each other. So she pretty much got a pass the first time. So now she's going to be on with Joe Biden. But tonight, you're not going to have Kamala Harris and Biden matching up again. Instead, you will have, as CNN lists her, spiritualist and author Marianne Williamson. Spiritualist. Let's just call it what it is. She's an occultist. She is an Oprah witch. She's been enabled by the Oprah cult to be on there. And part of the insanity, I just don't know what to say about these people. It's just beyond belief what we see there. Tim Ryan will also be there. Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren. You'll have the beta male, Beto O'Rourke, the guy who is the trans Hispanic. Again, you know, he's not really Hispanic, but he gets extra credit because he is a trans, not a transgender, but a trans nationalist identity. You know, he identifies as being Hispanic, and so he gets for identifying as something that he is not, biologically or ethnically, he gets extra points. So that's just as good as being Hispanic if you can be a trans Hispanic like Beto is. You have John Hickenlooper, John Delaney, again, the guy with a slavery plan for everybody. All the rest of the Democrats come up with tax increases and reparations. He comes up with a literal plan of slavery. And then Steve Bullock will finish out the group for tonight. And we will be, again, we'll be having a live coverage of that. The headlines should be alarming Joe Biden. We have, as a PJ Media headline says, on the eve of the debates, the long knives come out for Joe Biden. And then you look at the Hill, same type of talk. 2020 Democratic race enters a do or die phase. I mean, are these people going to, are we going to see the final scene from Julius Caesar reenacted on the stage tonight as the senators come out with their knives, their long knives for Joe Biden in a do or die phase? Is he going to fight these people off? We can only hope. To see what happens with this. Again, you better watch his back like Julius Caesar didn't tonight in the debate. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Yes, the mainstream media is working overtime as AP News is that they're telling us, and we know this is true because AP is telling us this, and we can trust everything that AP does. These are the people who create the style rules for everybody. You will use certain terms, and you will not use certain other terms. Those are absolutely forbidden. For example, you can't say that somebody is pro-life. They're not pro-life. They're anti-abortion rights. Or they're not pro-abortion, they are pro-abortion rights. That's according to the AP. You must use the term assault rifle whenever talking about a firearm. It's got to be an assault rifle, assault weapon. You know, if it's not a rifle, it's assault weapon, right? These types of rules are used by them. And so now Of course, you've also got President Trump being called a racist over and over again by AP News. And women are told that they all hate President Trump. You know, this is a proven fact. And AP has a couple of quotes from selected women to prove that all women hate President Trump. Because he dives into racial politics. I just don't like the way he talks about other people. They quote a 79-year-old woman saying. So, you know, I guess embrace that slavery that's out there. But is Trump really racist about Baltimore? Of course he's not. We're going to have more to say about this. But let's take a look at some of the racism in the Democrat Party. Daily Caller points out that a top Democratic fundraising staffer, Allison Jaslow, has now tweeted that she is out. She did not say why, but it was already known why she had to be taken out. You had two Hispanic lawmakers, according to Politico. Again, Politico, that leans very, very far to the left. This is not coming from somebody who identifies with the Republican Party, smearing dirt about the Republican Party. No, this is Politico, who likes the Democrats, talking about how this staffer, this fundraising staffer for the Democrats, got pushed out. Democratic Texas Representatives Vicente Gonzalez and Philemon Vella called for Allison Jaslow to resign on Sunday. They said the committee needs to be run by a person of color, quote unquote. Got to get her out of there. She's white. Now, is that racism? Is that racism? Have you heard President Trump say anything like that? You can't be in my administration. You can't come into the White House. You can't have anything because you're black or because you're Hispanic. He never says it. It's the Democrats who do that kind of stuff. It's the Democrats who constantly talk about race because it's the Democrats who are racist. And again, this whole term, person of color, just say colored person. You know, colored person, that's racist. But person of color, that is now approved by the political correct mafia, by the AP, and so forth. So, yeah, she tweeted out, "My commitment to the mission, our country, and people who commit their lives to serving is unwavering." And so I guess she is still unwavering in her commitment, even though she serves a group of committed racists who hate her because of her skin color. She's not allowed to raise money for them. And to underscore this, we've got yet another CNN staffer being outed as a rabid racist anti-Semite. A day after a CNN photojournalist resigned over a tweet that referred to, quote, Zionist pigs, another CNN staffer issued an apology for past tweets. One of them said, quote, "I love you, Hitler." I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Is this like Mel Brooks's movie, The Producers? I love you, Hitler. It's springtime for Hitler at CNN. That's it, folks. And they're not. It's not a joke. You know, it was a joke by Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks, I'm sure that you know about The Producers, but just in case you don't, you know, the idea being that his accountant stumbled on the fact that this larcenist producer was selling major shares of his production to everybody. And, you know, 50% to this person, 60% to that one, another 40% to that one. He goes, wait a minute, you can't do that. He goes, of course I can. It's going to be a flop. Nobody expects their money back. And so they decide they'll go big, and they're going to produce Springtime for Hitler because it's going to be a mega flop. And yet, all these people from CNN show up, and they love it. Spoiler alert. They love Springtime for Hitler. They tweet out, "I love you, Hitler." It's the CNN producers. CNN producer. And you know, the thing is, these people don't get kicked off of Twitter. Isn't that amazing? Just like Sarah Jeong, the racist, the Asian racist who hates white people so much. Remember that? She got tapped to be an editor at the New York Times. And then people said, look at all the hate that she put out there about white people. I hate white men, especially. They're stinky. They smelly. I hope they die. All this kind of stuff. Well, you know, they said, that's okay. That's all right. It's just white people. We can hate white people. We can kick them off of the Democrat fundraising staff as well because they're white. We got to have colored people or people of color, whichever you prefer. And then Candace Owens, drove the point home. She retweeted all of Sarah Jeong's racist, hateful tweets about white people. Just hope they die. They're stinky. They're smelly. She just changed white to black, and she immediately got kicked off by Twitter. And so, you know, I guess if you were to put something out instead of talking about Zionist pigs or I love you, Hitler, you put the same equivalent stuff out there attacking Muslims, of course, you would be off right away. Right away. I mean, don't even think about putting anything out there about our beloved Ilhan Omar or any of the other sisterhood of the traveling burqa. So tonight we're going to see the debates. Again, Buttigieg will be there. It'll be interesting to see with all the talk about the crime rate in Baltimore. It has kind of taken the heat away from Buttigieg because, you know, he has a very, very high crime rate there in Little South Bend, Indiana. It's way more than it is in New York. Maybe not as much as Baltimore, but it is way, way more. You know, we had 48 people shot in Chicago over the weekend, 9 of them fatally shot. And, of course, that's Democrat-controlled. It is gun-controlled, and that is gun-controlled Chicago. Baltimore's new deputy police, if you remember the last week of July, how the new police chief there got mugged at gunpoint. Now, if you look at this mugshot of him, well, it's not actually the mugshot. It wasn't after he was mugged, and it's not a shot of him being arrested. But if you look at this this police chief, pull that picture up there, guys. He is not exactly someone who looks like you would expect a police chief to. He looks a little bit more like Alfred E. Newman with glasses. There he is. Not to make fun of anybody's appearance, but, you know, I prefer my police chiefs that don't get mugged. I think they ought to look like they can actually hold their own on the street. But he got mugged at gunpoint in Baltimore. But, you know, Baltimore, to criticize Baltimore, that's racist. We don't want to point out their flaws or their rats or their crime or the number of fires that they had last night, overnight. They had 11 fires overnight in Baltimore's Edmondson Village. Yeah, people are just setting the city on fire. Arson, murder, rats in the streets. Look at all of the money that's been poured into that area from the federal government. Where did it all go? Might want to ask some of those Democrats running the area there. But Rob Reiner, again, says that all of us Trump supporters are racist. We're all racist. It's abundantly clear, he said. Trump is running on white nationalism. You know, we come back. I'm going to talk about a push, not just from the Democrat politicians, not just from Hollywood, but I'm going to talk about a group of people in various Christian denominations who are saying, if you identify as Christian and you talk about America and you're patriotic, you are a Christian nationalist and you are racist. Again, you have to identify where this is coming from. This is social justice and it is intersectionality and it is friendly fire from Christians to other Christians.
Working starts to make me wonder where fruits of what I do are going. He says in love and war all is fair. He's got cards he ain't showing. How much does it cost? I'll buy it.
Talk about somebody who's got cards they aren't showing. It's this quote-unquote Christian group. This is a group formed by leaders who identify themselves as Christian, complaining about the rise of, quote, Christian nationalism. Well, you know, I don't think that we ought to have established state church. That's not what America was about. If I say that I'm a Christian and I support the foundations of America, that is not saying that I am supporting any one particular religion or any particular denomination. As a matter of fact, though, if we look at history, we understand that this country was founded by people who came here first and foremost for religious liberty. They fled areas, especially England, where there was a state church. You had William Penn and his followers who were Quakers. They were told, you can't worship at this church. They passed a law. Said, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And so they continued to attend the church. So then the government shows up and they padlock the church doors. So then William Penn and his Quakers hold a church service on the steps of the church. At that point, they arrested William Penn. At the trial, the jury understood that that was clearly the law. They understood that the law had clearly been violated. But they said, we think that this law is unjust. That was the foundation of jury nullification. And the judge was so angry at that, that he took the foreman, Edwin Bushnell, and the co-foreman, and he locked them up in jail. After they were there for several weeks, I believe it was, I forget exactly how long it was that they were there. Finally, they had a lawyer who went to the judges and appealed and said, show us the law that the jury violated when they said, we are not going to enforce this other law that we think is unjust. In other words, a jury, show us a law that says a jury cannot nullify an unjust law. Show us a law that says that the jury has to rubber stamp your laws and is in a straitjacket, must decide, as judges now tell all the juries, your job is not to judge the law. Your job is to determine whether or not this person violated the law that we imposed. That never was the case. Those jurors stood up to that and they said, we disagree with that law. And that is one of the most important aspects of a jury. That was why trial by jury was so vital and so much a part of our foundation in this country. And so the judges looked at that and said, yeah, you're right. The jury can throw out a law that they don't think is just. That's called jury nullification. And as part of that trial, they also established habeas corpus. Show me the law that was violated when the jury nullified your prohibitions on religious freedom. But it was in that kind of environment that you had many people leave and come to the United States, and they would set up in Pennsylvania. The Quakers established a Quaker church as the official religion. In Rhode Island, the Baptist established the Baptist church as the official religion. In Maryland, it was Catholic. In other places, it was Congregationalist or it was Presbyterian or whatever. They had all these different churches. So they were very concerned when the federal government was created that one of those religions was going to be picked and that everybody else is going to be forced to either. And this is what establishment means. You have to pay money to support the official state church. So even if you were in Rhode Island and you weren't a Baptist, you still had to pay money to support the Baptist church. And in some of the states, you had to actually attend church or you would get additional fines. Some of the more lenient ones, they would say, well, you don't have to actually attend, just send your money in. They said, no, we're not going to have anything like that at the federal level. So that's what the First Amendment was partially about. And so when we look at all of this, understand that you cannot separate Christianity. You cannot separate the idea that Christianity is about the tolerance of other faiths. You can't deconstruct and invert and lie about American history and say those hateful Christians, if they get the upper hand, boy, they're going to establish a state church everywhere. That was never, never a part of what this is. And I don't know anybody who is calling for this. This is a fake group out here attacking a fake position. And let me tell you why they're doing this. I mean, what they're doing is they're running this straight off of what Rob Reiner tweeted out. Rob Reiner said, the president of the United States is a racist. Doesn't have to support it. He just says it, right? Democrats, you can accuse anybody of being racist. And they are. They are. Even if, and here we are again, back into philosophy, we get back into, the idea. We've gone from modernism to postmodernism. With modernism, you had all the atheists and the philosophers and the scientists who wanted to argue with the Christians and say there is no God. And the Christians said, we'll have that argument. We have that. And as far as I'm concerned, I've watched many of these debates. I want to justify that in my own mind, and I have no doubt in my mind that the philosophers and the scientists have been beaten by the Christians in those debates. We can have those debates. I don't shy from those at all. There is a God, and I don't care. You can defend that on a philosophical basis. You can defend that on a scientific basis. But then they went past modernism, where they, you know, they wanted to construct, and again, in Germany, you know, Germany was so advanced. They had all the best science. They had the best philosophers. They had the best music. And then they gave us the best dictators the world has ever seen. And two of the biggest wars the world has ever seen, born out of their arrogance and their pride. And they were the ones who created higher criticism. They were the ones who started these debates of science and philosophy versus Christians. After that, though, middle of the 20th century, the thing that became popular was postmodernism. And postmodernism, it doesn't matter. We're not going to even debate you as to what the truth is. What is truth? Pontius Pilate, right? What is truth? Well, I don't care. You've got a truth. I've got a truth. If I think you're racist, you are racist. So, you know, Rob Reiner doesn't have to defend his position that you are a racist. It's just an assertion. That is Rob Reiner's truth. He doesn't have to defend that. That would be modernism if he actually debated you on whether or not you're a racist. No, no, no. He thinks you're a racist, therefore you are a racist. Because that's his truth. And if you don't harbor any ill will against somebody else, well, then that's you are a racist nevertheless. Because it's your unconscious bias. That's another term they've thrown in there. You're unconscious. See, you're biased. You're just not conscious of that. You're an indelible racist just because of who you are and because of who I say you are. And so he says the president of the United States is a racist. He has made it abundantly clear his reelection is based on white nationalism. Okay, so we've got Rob Reiner setting up his postmodern syllogism here. This is what passes for logic from a Hollywood star known for a single role where he was called Meathead, and he actually wasn't acting. This is the way the guy is in real life. Here's the syllogism. The president of the U.S. is racist, and so therefore, if you support him, there is no distinction between you being a racist and a racist enabler. They are the same. You know, he is a racist. His campaign is about white supremacy. Therefore, if you support him, you are a racist. So we're going to talk about this Christian group and where they're coming from and what they're trying to do when we come back. Stay with us.
Analyzing the globalist's next move. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, the globalist's next move is basically the way they've been moving for quite some time now. We've been seeing this with just the Pope taking the heat. And now he's got a lot of people who are Protestant joining along with him and some other Catholics into a group that is taking on some boogeyman that they call Christian nationalism. Now, here's a warning to you, right? Nowhere could I find them actually defining what Christian nationalism is. You hear them talking about, oh, we're all one community. Oh, we need to stop threatening violence and so forth. We need to welcome the stranger into our midst and on and on and on, right? Traditionally, when you have Christian groups who come together to argue about something, a statement of faith, if you will, they'll typically define what it is that they're coming after, right? But we can read between the lines. We know exactly what they're doing, even though they won't have the decency to come out and say, we affirm the following and we deny the following. That's the way it's typically done by people who are not postmodern social justice warriors pushing a Marxist agenda and using buzz terms thrown about, like white supremacy all the time. They're using basically the same types of tactics that people like Rob Reiner are using. Whether we worship at a church, a mosque, a synagogue, or a temple of Satan, I guess, America has no second-class faiths. All are equal under the U.S. Constitution. Well, yes, that's true. Have you ever noticed these people getting upset about the fact that a volunteer organization that wanted to raise money as a Christian group, they wanted to raise money for veterans, and they were shut down on social media, shut down on, it's either Facebook or YouTube. I can't remember now which one it was. It was last week. And they came back and they said, I know what it was. YouTube. They wanted to buy ads on YouTube. And YouTube said, we're not going to let you do that. Offending word, Christian. Christian. That was the offending word. Now, these people who are out here, and this is an article that's on the Hill, Christian group warns against the rise of Christian nationalism. They're not concerned about the persecution of Christians. They're not concerned about the fatwa on the very term Christian. Our beliefs have been under attack for quite some time. We have social media shutting you down if you want to talk about abortion, shutting you down if you want to talk about informed health choice even, if you want to talk about families. Oh, no, no, no. You're not going to be allowed to talk about that. These people don't care about that. And so these people, if you look at what they're having to say, you can kind of read between the lines. These are people pushing the same kind of stuff that the Pope has been pushing. Globalism, open borders, social justice, in other words, Marxism. Liberation theology is what it was called by the Catholic Church, by the Jesuits in South America when they went totally Marxist, and then they got their Jesuit Marxist bishop and as Pope Francis. And it is also about intersectionality. And I'm just saying to the Christians and to the Americans, you want to talk about nationalism? Oh, well, you're racist. If you want to talk about Christianity, you're hateful. You need to be deplatformed, depersoned, kicked off of social media. If you say that you believe that certain things, certain practices are sinful, but you're not trying to lock anybody up, that has been the position in America. You know, we have different churches that were allowed. That doesn't mean that I have to affirm the beliefs of all these different churches or all these different religions. I can say I disagree with you, and here's why. I'm free to say that. That's part of my free expression. I don't have to worship at everybody's altar. Unless it's the LGBT, then you do have to worship at their altar. You do have to not only accept their definition of marriage, but you have to celebrate their definition of marriage. And if you're a business that chooses not to do that because of your religious beliefs, they choose to put you out of business, whether you are a single baker or whether you're a major chain like Chick-fil-A. They are intolerant of that. Absolutely. Do these people worry about that? No, no, not at all. Not at all. They're worried about the open border. As Christians, we're bound to Christ, not by citizenship, but by faith, they say. They said that Christian nationalism, and this is not a quote, this is a summary from The Hill, seeks to bind Christianity and American citizenship. In other words, in their mind, if you talk about Christian values, if you talk about free exercise of religion, if you talk about the Christian faith, if you talk about America at the same time, if you talk about our history, our culture being formed and shaped on Christian beliefs, as I just pointed out to you, it was shaped by people who believed in tolerance and people who wanted it in their own lives. So they came to a different country, to a life of hardship, to establish that freedom. And it was pastors across America of every different denomination of Christianity who rose up against the British. They helped to lead the revolution. They called them the Black Brigade because it was the pastors, as much or more so than anybody else, who realized what was at stake. They did not want to live under a system where they were going to be persecuted for their beliefs. And that's what these people want us to live under. And so you got people, as you look at what they're saying, to suggest that the church needs to protect the state, the protection of the state in order to flourish and thrive is idolatrous. Well, I don't know anybody that's making that argument. That's a straw man argument being made by Paul Baxley, executive coordinator of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship I've never heard of. Then you have Sister Simone Campbell, executive director of the Network Lobby for Catholic Social Justice. There we know. She flew her flag right there. Christian nationalism comes from a place of insecurity and fear. Yeah, we got to open up those borders. That's what this is about. Tony Campola, Christian nationalism, he said, Jesus isn't Republican or Democrat. I don't know anybody who says that he is, except for these people. But what I often hear preached on some radio and TV program seems to me being American Jesus. American Jesus. Franciscan Action Network director Patrick Carolyn, he says, well, it's 800th anniversary that we just had. St. Francis and Sultan of Egypt, 800 years ago, they helped to bring about the end of the Fifth Crusade. So see, it's all about defending Islam. It's about opening the borders. It's about attacking anybody who is Christian or who has traditional Christian beliefs. That's what this is really about. Folks, you better understand where this censorship is leading. It has metastasized very quickly from going after one man and one news network, Alex Jones and InfoWars. 2 months later, 800 alternative media sites were shut down, and now they are banning the very word Christian, and you've got these people here who are welcoming persecution of anybody that they point the finger at and say, you are a Christian nationalist. I don't like your political beliefs. And if you're Christian, that makes you even more dangerous, right? You understand that, don't you? It makes you even more dangerous to these people because Christians aren't afraid of death. All right. We got a special tonight. We got a special event. We've got the clowns debating, these people who are the racist pimps of the Democrat Party, the people who want to enslave you. It's not just about raising your taxes. They want to put you into mandatory service, as some of these people. One of the guys tonight, Delaney. To celebrate this clown show, we have a special website, clownworld.us. Clownworld.us. Because Infowars.com is being censored, along with the word Christian. We are now being censored everywhere. So clownworld.us, if you want to share the link, please do and use that link. But we've also got a major special to go along with this. We've got 50% off all InfoWars Life formulas. We want to help you to help us, help you keep your freedom, help you keep your free speech, or to get it back, quite frankly. It's been taken. Your free speech has been taken along with the free press. So we have 50% off all InfoWars Life formulas, free shipping, double Patriot points. We have up to 50% off all select storable foods as well. Again, you can store those for 25 years, non-GMO, made in America, the best packaging you're going to find anywhere. And we also have set up a site where you can actually make direct donations to InfoWars. And I'm pleased to announce that people have really been stepping up on that. We really do appreciate that. It has skyrocketed from the time this show began this morning, from 42,000 to 110,000 at the moment. And the donations that I'm seeing are between $25 and $100. You can donate more if you want. We really do appreciate that. We really do appreciate that. We appreciate you standing with us. Thank you so much. Welcome back. I want to talk about 5G now, and I'm going to talk about it from the health standpoint. Look, there is enough that we know about 5G and about geospatial intelligence that ought to be a non-starter right there. The fact that it is the fundamental technology for the 2030 agenda, the sustainable agenda, as the UN pointed it out. Of course, this is an agenda that began, first it was called Agenda 21 by the UN, to make sure that sometime in the 21st century, they were going to lock everybody into the cities. And of course, they were going to create giant mega cities. For example, like here in Texas, going to have one giant city that encompasses San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, just big, you know, megalopolis there. Or, you know, over in the East Coast, just take everything from Washington all the way up to New York and make it one giant concentrated city. And then get everybody completely out of all the rural areas. That's one of the reasons why they were doing what they were doing out in Nevada to the 50-plus ranchers. And Clive and Bundy was the last one of them out there. We see this happening throughout the rural areas as they're literally stealing the property of people who have property rights that are either grazing rights or water rights or mineral rights, on and on. You know, all of the logging rights, all those types of things. You can have all of those things simultaneously on a piece of property and still have it open as a park, for example. Still have it publicly owned. Each of those things are specific rights. The grazing rights can be there as part of a park and so forth. You know, if you turn this thing over to a foreign corporation, as they did in the Tonto National Forest in Arizona, they turn it into a giant crater, which can be seen from space. And so, you know, that basically ruins it for everybody. You no longer have it as a public park. You no longer have it as a historical site for the Apaches. You no longer have any grazing rights or logging rights or anything else on this land surface, because one giant foreign corporation gets that handed to them by John McCain, for example, in that particular example. But the whole idea of Agenda 21 is to pack people into the city so that you can be controlled. And a key element of this control is 5G technology. They are not going to be able to have their ownerless cars. That's what I prefer to call them. Not driverless cars, but somebody's going to be driving it. It's going to be the government who's going to be driving it. And they're going to be driving you around if you are a good little boy or girl. If you don't have any social demerits, as their allies, their private-public partnership to control everybody, you know, the big corporations, they'll allow you to take to rent this by the ride, not to get out of the city, really, because you're not going to have anywhere to go. It's going to all be off limits. We can already see this in the national parks. They brag about the fact that they only have the national park opened about less than 1%. Typically, when I go to a national park, that's what they tell everybody. Oh yeah, this is great. Yeah, we're really protecting this place. Only 1% of it's available to the public. The rest of it's locked up for us and for our crony friends to exploit at a later time. But all of that ought to be enough of a reason for us to push back against this 5G agenda, to lock us into the city, to monitor everything that we do with geospatial intelligence, to be able to predict what we're about to do. That has been the fastest growing area of surveillance and of intelligence since the late 1990s. To be able to watch everything that you do, to be able to make all kinds of assumptions and predictions about what you're about to do next. Activity-based intelligence, human domain analytics to master the human domain, all of that is tied together. But let's take a look at the health issues. We've got a report here from NBC, and I've had this stuff on my desk for quite some time. I typically haven't had the time to get to it. Doctors find differences in the brains of U.S. diplomats who alleged a mystery attack in Cuba and also in another embassy as well. And I found this to be very interesting because the people who were complaining that something had happened to them, these are diplomats, they were spies who worked other places. You had the FBI, the CIA investigate this and say, it's psychosomatic. We can't find anything at all. Well, a group of U.S. government workers have now been tested, and they did these tests at the University of Pennsylvania. They actually did scans, brain scans, and what they could identify is that these people who suffered from this, they said, well, we heard things. We were disoriented. We had headaches. And so they had physical symptoms. It was very distressing to them. They said they have now looked at them. They have less white matter in their brains, less connectivity in the areas that control vision and hearing. You hear that? Vision and hearing. Then similar healthy people. Found the doctors at the University of Pennsylvania. So they said that this is a physical, neurological condition that these U.S. diplomat spies and their families who reported strange sounds and sensations while serving in Havana between 2016 and 2018. And as the FBI looked at this, going all the way back to 2017, and we talked about this when it happened, and yet the FBI, the CIA, the State Department, are examining the possibility still that it is psychosomatic, but now they have physical evidence. And I just want to stress again that they had strange sensations and strange sounds. Now, let's take a look at the research of a scientist. His name is Alan Fry, who was looking at, ironically enough, people getting their brains fried by radar. And we all know the story about the microwave oven, right? It was discovered kind of by accident. You had technicians who were working on radar for the military, and they would put their coffee on the box, and all of a sudden it would start to get hot. And as they started to look at that, they said, yeah, you know, we could actually use that. Maybe that's not a bug. Maybe it's a feature. And so the very first microwave ovens, if you remember, were called radar ranges. They were made by Amana, right? And they actually called them radar ranges. Well, it turns out that Alan Fry, in 1960, he was a biologist. He was then 25 years old. He was working for GE's Advanced Electronics Center at Cornell. He was contacted by a technician whose job it was to measure the signals emitted by the radar stations. Again, another technician. It's not his coffee that's getting hot. Instead, he has something different. He said he could hear radar. Now, remember, these guys at these embassies who were attacked, they said they heard sounds. This would indicate to me that they're being bombarded in some way by electromagnetic radiation. Fry went very deep in this. Again, this went back to the 1960s. He went to the facility where the guy said he heard the radar. He said, sure enough, I could hear it too. I could hear the radar going zip, zip, zip. He said microwave radiation from radar and other sources could somehow be heard by human beings. He said the hearing, however, did not happen via normal sound waves perceived by through the ear. It apparently occurred in the brain itself as the microwaves interacted with the brain cells. And so this was something that was creating the perception of hearing because the radar, the electromagnetic radiation was working directly on his cortex or whatever, the various parts of the brain. For the next two decades, Fry, funded by the Office of Naval Research and the U.S. Army, was the most active researcher on the bio effects of microwave radiation in the country. He caused rats to become docile by exposing them to radiation at an average power level of only 50 microwatts per square centimeter. Think about that. See, this is we've got a lot of health concerns about 5G. But again, if we go back and we look at, here's another piece of research going back. I remember Michael Aquino. Michael Aquino was another one of these Oprah occultists like Marianne Williamson. Oprah loves to have these Satanists, these crystal worshipers like Marianne Williamson on her show. Well, Michael Aquino was a, I think he was a colonel was his rank. He was in the NSA. But he was also an avid and open Satanist. He looked and dressed like Eddie Munster. He looked like a grown-up version of Eddie Munster. And he goes on in his full regalia on the Oprah Winfrey Show. He had the Temple of Set. He was a Satanist organization that he'd created out in California. He also wrote a book called Mind Wars, in the 1980s. In that book, he talked about how extremely low frequencies and other radiation could be used to pacify people. And if you remember, let's just tie this together. At the Office of Naval Research, you had, for the next couple of decades, from the 60s to the 80s, you had this guy, Fry, looking at this, and he says, you know, we can make rats become docile by exposing them to radiation of only 50 microwatts per square centimeter. You have Michael Aquino saying, we can make people become docile by exposing them to radiation. Remember the Navy Yard shooter? Michael Aquino said ELF, extremely low frequency. Remember the Navy Yard shooter? Carved on the stock of his gun. He said he's hearing voices. Carved on the stock of his gun, this is my ELF weapon. Yeah, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. Thanks for listening. That's the broadcast for today.